flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if it's too strong a statement to say this, but to me, it felt like the Pistons clowned on the Atlanta Hawks last night.
Because they did. For three quarters, they absolutely clowned on them.
This game, the final was 114 to 104. It was not that close.
No.
It basically hovered around 20. It felt like the entire game. The Pistons are blocking dunks. They're throwing passes off the backboard to each other.
The block that Isaiah Stewart had is amazing.
And by the way, he went over to the bench to high-five them while the ball was going down to the other end. I mean, that's clowning on an opponent, and usually I'm against that stuff. Like, play the game, celebrate later. You still got a fast break to go run. But they clowned on the Hawks. Now, was this a game that, you know, I don't know if it was more important than the Houston win, less important than the Houston win. It was another statement win. Houston's a really good team that Detroit went to Houston and won. Now they got Atlanta right ahead of them, and they clowned on them. We asked the question a couple weeks ago. No longer are they hot. They're on a heater. Because on a heater implies that you're just playing really well right now. Are they good? Are the Pistons going to mess around and contend here in the East?
Well, they're 2.5 games behind fourth. I mean, that's how tight things are in the conference, right? To be that close to just fourth place. Like, the Milwaukee Bucks are 24-17. The Pistons are 23-21. You know, you get all the way down to the ninth place team is Miami at 21-21. So you've got nine teams in the Eastern Conference now that are at 500 or better. You look at the Western Conference, and you've got 11 teams that are 500 or better. It's 10 teams, with Phoenix being 22-21, being that 10th team. There is a lot of parity in the NBA right now, but there's also, you've got the haves, and then you've got the teams that think that they have a chance, and you got the have-nots. And the teams that think they have a chance, that's what's growing. That's the parity part. But there's still the way too top-heavy. You get Cleveland 36-7, and same thing with Oklahoma City. They're both 36-7, and their nearest competitors are 5.5 and 7 games back, respectively. So, you know, are the Pistons making a move? I like what they're doing, and the fact that they are so young gives you hope that, okay, this thing is definitely on the right track, and you know, how soon before we can actually expect that this team is, do I say championship caliber? I mean, not this year. Absolutely not this year. But I'm saying, are they on that right track where, because of their youth, that you could see in a couple of years that now this team is a contending team in the East? Right now, they're fighting to be a playoff team, and they're right in the thick of it. But is this where their growth is heading?
It very well could be. The Pistons have won. Like, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here. But they've lost 14 straight playoff games. Sweep, sweep, sweep. And the last time they actually won a playoff game, they lost the last two of the series. So it's 14 straight playoff games. This team looks like a team that's capable of A, qualifying, and B, not have it be a ceremonial trip to the playoffs. Like, it's like you're just there and, hey, happy to be here. Can they mess around and win some games or even win a series? They are playing so well. Cade has emerged as one of the best players in the team. He's not a lock for Eastern Conference Player of the Month, but he's...
Best player in the league, not team, but yeah.
A best player in the league. Yeah, sorry. He's nearly a lock. No, I'm not gonna, settle down, Doug. He's in consideration for Eastern Conference Player of the Month, which I don't really... doesn't really matter other than it speaks to the rest of the world is waking up to how well he is playing, and he's going to get that recognition. But, I mean, last night, I just felt like they never needed a bucket because Atlanta never really put all that much pressure on. Like, ooh, they cut it to 12.
No,
is that pressure?
He actually did have a triple-double last night. Unfortunately, there was 10 turnovers as part of it, and that's the part of his game that he has got to improve to really take it to another level. Because the turnovers end up being points for the other team, obviously. So, or at least opportunities to score at the other end. If he starts to calm that down and reduces that number,
could be talking 4 or 5 seed, you know?
I mean, he's at almost 5 turnovers per game, just him. If he cuts that down by a couple, that's impressive.
You know, obviously there's a lot of reasons for the turnovers. He has the ball in his hands a lot. You know, he's creating for his teammates. He's creating for himself. I think he's got to be stronger with the stronger with the ball and be more aware. I think sometimes, because he's not like a super athletic player, right? So he plays at his own pace, which I think sometimes defenses can sneak up on him. He doesn't realize it. But if he does get those turnovers under control, Gator, they're in the 6th seed right now with all those turnovers. Like, if he starts, he's still developing and growing as a player. He gets that better. They could, why stop at the 6th seed?
And that's what I said. Yeah. They're 2.5 games away from the 4th seed.
And the national media and national fans, Doug, are paying attention now. They have their attention. I mean, Cade was on the TNT crew the other night. Yep. You know, basketball writers around the league are starting to write about, do you see what's going on in Detroit? You see what Cade's doing? Like, if he is an all-star, that is some recognition that people are starting to, wake up and see Pistons are doing something good here.
Well, and now that the Lions season is done, now there's going to be more focus on them locally, because here we go. Okay. You're 2 games above 500. With the win last night, the first time since 2019 that they'll have clinched a winning month, which is crazy to think, but it's how bad this team has been for years. And now we got a little bit of hope. You know, I don't know what the potential is for this season. I mean, it's playoffs for sure. But is it enough where they can actually get into the top 4? You know, Milwaukee's the number 4 seed, and I would never think that the Pistons are as good as Milwaukee, and yet they're 2.5 games behind Milwaukee.
What do we say the bus ride was from Houston to Atlanta? Was it 12 hours?
15 hours or something.
Okay,
like that.
Yeah, the Pistons made that bus ride, and they stopped at a Buc-ee's, and we talked about it yesterday, and they got off the bus, and there was video during the game last night of them.
And discussion got off the rails about how great Buc-ee's is.
Yep. On our show or the game last night?
On our show,
yeah,
and the following show,
yeah,
and everybody talking about Buc-ee's.
Yeah. So the question is, it's a shorter drive to Orlando for Saturday's game. A, did they bus, and B, did they stop at a Buc-ee's? Like, is this something?
Well, don't mess with the mojo, right, Gator?
Yeah. Well, maybe not, right? I mean, the weather is why they took the bus, but will the weather be a reason that they take a bus, or are they just going to say, you know what, it's a bus living's good. Where is that Buc-ee's?
We don't want to do it for the whole season, but this road trip, because we're having a little fun with this.
Hey, Coach, can we drive 75 all the way back to Detroit?
Easy there.
I know a place for wings.
And lap dancing.
Well, there you go. How about this Detroit team? Piston fans, 248-539-9797. Feedback coming in. Jeff and Warren says, the Pistons team looked great last night. Doug, see what a trip to Buc-ee's can do for you?
Mm, look at that. How clean is your bathroom?
I think our bathroom is comparable to a Buc-ee's.
Okay.
That will go so far as it's a
dude,
bold,
you're going too far.
A
That's bold,
bold
statement. Man.
Yeah.
You got an attendant?
Yeah, I don't think so.
We don't have a dude hanging out there at all times, no.
Unless he's using it, right?
Dude!
I'll be out in a minute.
It is funny.
Know.
If the wife cleans the bathroom, including the toilet, I think she doesn't expect myself or my son to use the toilet
right
for that.
You're not supposed
to. For weeks.
Yeah.
She's like, if you have to do that, go to work. Save it till you get to work.
Go outside.
I just clean the toilet.
Here's a roll, dig a hole, and go outside.
Right? You don't use, that's the rule, though. You don't use it till guests come over. All right, I just cleaned the toilet. No one used the bathroom.
Right.
Chad in Midland says, guys, I love watching the Pistons. They're playing really fun basketball. The only thing I'm concerned about and have been concerned about the last couple of years is the Cade Cunningham turnovers. He's a turnover machine. He had 10 more last night. I think if they get down three, if they can get that down to three or four turnovers a game consistently, the Pistons have a chance to make a run.
How long are you supposed to wait, by the way? When that bathroom is nice and clean, and like you guys have wives, and if they're the ones that are cleaning it, men clean it too. But if your wife's the one that cleans it, I mean, honestly, what's the amount of time? If like you can go in there where she's not going to look at you side-eyed.
Well, since you've successfully hijacked the show, I will tell you that last night I was told, quote, don't use that bathroom.
I agree with your wife.
What about you?
What do you, you mean you agree down? With her? You if you clean a bathroom, you don't...
12 hours. 12-hour rule.
What, do you meditate, make it go away?
Absolutely. No, we talked about this yesterday after the show, Gabe. You can meditate and it can go away if you have to.
You just don't know when it's going to want to come back.
Sometimes the sheer willpower of men can be incredible.
You're going to get in trouble. That's why you need another bathroom in the house. All right, can I nuke that one? This one's going to be fine. Yeah. Over there.
The Pistons is from an unnamed texter. The Pistons will not only make the playoffs, they will be in the Eastern Conference Finals. They are one player away from being a potential championship, and then it stops.
Does Trajan Langdon say F them picks? Forget Brad Holmes.
Will Trajan Langdon get an edge rusher? 248-539-9797.
Well, listen, if you're picking in the 20s, you're effing them picks anyway, right? Nobody cares about the picks in the 20s.
I'm not sure people care about the picks at all.
We're just 3-for-1 the other day.
248-539-9797. Pistons fans, are they just good? You expect them to compete the rest of the way. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. Pistons toyed with, clowned on Atlanta last night, and now are in the sixth spot in the Eastern Conference. And look, it's a team that did, you know, the one guy, his text cut off when he was writing something about championship, and I'm like, okay. But they are the only team with cap space right now in the NBA. They could be a buyer come the trade deadline. Maybe they do make a bit of a push. I don't want to see them, you know, it's not a go all in with a guy that they're going to lose after this year kind of push, but it is a chance to maybe acquire a player and improve their chances to make some noise here in the East. They have warranted this discussion. Their play has warranted this discussion.
Well, the next four games are against winning teams. Three on the road, at Orlando, at Cleveland, at Indiana, and then they come back home next Friday to take on Dallas. So, nice little test here to see where you're at. You got some in-conference games. You know, the first three of those on the road, the road trip is all in-conference.
I think their last five games are against winning teams, right, too? I mean, this is a tough stretch of the schedule. Hawks winning team, Rockets winning team, Suns winning team, Pacers a winning team, Knicks a winning team. So they've been playing
3-2 in that stretch, and we'll see how they go in this four game stretch.
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch. You know, every time you beat a good team, it's just adding to your credibility.
Exactly. Yeah, adding and more legitimacy and what they're doing. And we both really like the new GM and the new head coach prior to the season. We talked with them; they're very upbeat, very enthusiastic, and I think realistic about what's ahead of them. And they brought in some good players. Good veteran players that made sense. Beasley's been fantastic for this team. And Tobias Harris is starting to heat up a little bit. Nice to see Fontecchio starting to warm up a little bit. Mm-hmm. If he gets back to where he was last year, that's huge for this team. Because they need him to be a 40% shooter from three.
248-539-9797. I agree about the turnover problem with Cade. However, Atlanta has the leading ball thief by a huge margin. Grain of salt for last night. Well, that is Dyson Daniels, who is on top of the NBA in terms of steals. And last night he had two more. I don't know if that accounts for 10, but The Pistons were good last night, except for the turnovers. And let's be honest, Atlanta took a classic NBA regular season night off, but we're getting better. Do you think they choose to take a night off where they're now in a play-in game? I don't think so. Now, look, there's a ton of basketball to be played.
Well, one guy had a thumb last week.
Yeah, I know. That's right. Thoughts and prayers. Just shows how bad Monty Williams was. That's from Dave and Canton.
I don't know. I don't think Monty Williams is bad. I think Monty Williams is bad at that time. I don't think Monty Williams had his whole heart into coaching that season, and he was coaxed into it because he was made a ridiculous offer and then got paid $65 million to walk away from the situation.
I compare these Pistons to the Grant Hill era. Hopefully not. That's from an unnamed texter.
Well,
I feel like the Grant Hill era set the stage for the championship era.
It did, because they traded Grant Hill.
Yep.
You know, but then if that's to be the case, then you're saying you're going to trade Cade Cunningham, and I don't want to think of that because I love Cade Cunningham.
If it wins him a championship, I don't care. I do love Cade Cunningham.
I love Grant Hill, too. Yep.
That worked out.
Did not work out for Grant Hill.
The Pistons team got me back. This Piston team has got me back into basketball. The new coach and GM brought me to tune into the first game of the season. I've only missed a couple since. I'm having a blast watching this team grow and compete. I'll for sure be bummed if they miss the playoffs. Anything beyond making the playoffs will be a bonus for me. Thanks for the awesome segment. You kill it every day, Justin and Masson Heights. Thank you, Justin. Here's the thing. They're like 7 games into the playoffs now. Like, that's incredible. Now, given there's a line after you mentioned the bunch of teams that are bunched together,
mm-hmm.
then there's a drop-off to the Bulls, and then beyond that, Philly. It's 3 games out of the playoffs. Detroit's 13.5 games behind Cleveland. Philly is the first team out. They're 20.5 games. So, I mean, it's they're in a good spot to make the playoffs for sure. It would be a major disappointment now. That's why JJ meditates before games to make it go away. LMAO. That's
I like that strategy.
Yeah.
Yep.
How are the bathrooms at the arenas, Doug, that you you broadcast in? Do you get
the stadium?
Yeah, where the players use them and all that stuff. What are we looking at?
Yeah, they get pummeled, or do you go to a different place? You're up in the press box.
Yeah, so I'll just say that there are certain press boxes that have inadequate facilities.
Okay. Yeah.
As in, not enough, or a bit of a hike. Leads to some weird commercial break. Different gymnastics.
Are there still stadium press boxes that would have like no doors on the stalls?
No.
When did that ever make sense?
Dude.
It's the worst thing ever. High school, like they know no door. What?
I remember first day in high school, I was like, nope.
talking about meditating, you made it go away.
Yep. Did it for 4 years.
Those were some long days. Yeah, I don't know, man. Anyway, Pistons with a huge win last night. 248-539-9797. Now they're off to Orlando. Another team that's battling for the Eastern Conference playoff spots, maneuvering around. I think avoiding the play-in round feels like it's all getting more and more realistic all the time. Hey, just a reminder, you can stream the show using the Odyssey app. Download it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. Then you can listen to this show or any of the shows here on 97.1 The Ticket anywhere in the United States. You also stream with video. You go to youtube.com or twitch.tv. Those are places you can take in the show. I forgot to mention, you can also stream to our website, the audio there. Go to 971theticket.com for that. Feedback coming in to the Carson Anderson inbox from Call Me Leak. I'm not worried about the turnovers. This is from Twitch. I'm not worried about the turnovers at all. JB did the exact same thing with Darius Garland. They let him play through a lot of mistakes, and he figured it out. He had all these crazy totals, too, but he got better because of it. I mean, they're still winning. So the turnovers, yeah, are an issue, but you know, they're winning games. So that's what's most important. And yes, there's a lot of time to sort that out. He's gotten better and better. We moved beyond the Cade's a bust talk, I think.
Oh, I hope so. But he's gotten better every year.
Yep.
The difference is he's healthy. Knock on wood that he can stay healthy. And that there's a reason he was drafted first overall. I don't know how high the ceiling was for him, but he was clearly the best player in the draft that year by all accounts. And he's coming into form very nicely for this team.
All right, got some line stuff to get to, including next hour. You hear the best of what Brad Holmes told the media today when his season-ending news conference and announcement today. Gator, I want to get your reaction. We will get to that today at 11:31 here on Karsh and Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
You know, we've talked during this NFL head coaching search cycle that would go through every year about certain organizations just being bad, and we thought that the Bears might be one of those organizations just too bad for Ben Johnson to get on board with, but clearly he's okay with it and he's going to go there. Did you see what happened in Jacksonville yesterday?
What, they fired their GM?
They fired their GM yesterday. Like, you do this after you've interviewed a bunch of head coaching candidates? Like, right. What?
Yeah, I mean, what is that? Is that the owner and the GM have a difference on who the next coach should be? Is that the owner sitting down with the coaching candidates the GM brought in and go, you want to hire one of these rubes? I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know what happened there.
There have been talk of that owner being completely incompetent for years.
Mm-hmm.
And was it Shad Khan? Is that the owner there? He's just been a train wreck as an owner. Got lots of money to spend and just doesn't know what to do.
No, not our issue.
Nope.
Not our issue. All right, so announcement this morning here, Gator, and I find this to be interesting because it has made me on occasion, it has sparked me deciding to do something, and that is they have announced the Oscar nominations.
Oh.
Yes. Kang, you hate award shows.
Yes.
Tell the people why you hate award shows.
Like, I care about these rich, famous people complaining about not getting recognized for doing something that they already get paid millions of dollars to do.
Right.
Okay. It's just, it's not based on anything but an opinion. You know what I'm saying? I think it's always nice to be recognized, but it's just an opinion. Like, these people that are like, I'm boycotting the Grammys because I didn't get nominated or the Oscars, so I can't stand it.
Every year these nominations come out, and I'm always like, I need to be more well-rounded as a person. I do not see movies very often. And last year it sparked me to see two movies, one that I liked and one that I thought was absolute dog crap, and made it about 25, 35 minutes in before I'm like, I have no interest in what happens next. This is weird, and I did not care. The one that I watched and liked actually was the Best Picture Award winner, Oppenheimer. I enjoyed Oppenheimer.
Still haven't watched it.
The one that I was like, I'm they're losing me rapidly. I don't care about these people. The dialogue is weird. I don't know what's going on.
Is it Barbie?
No, it was Killers of the Flower Moon.
I thought you went the Barbenheimer route. You know, remember that weekend? It was a big weekend. So I guess you just saw Oppenheimer.
Right. So I went and saw those two movies, and, well, I got them at home. And didn't make it through Killers of a Flower Moon. Gator,
Doug.
I want to know if you've seen any of these pictures nominated this year.
Okay.
You ready?
I think so.
All right. The first one is Anora. Have you seen Anora?
I have not seen Anora.
Is this a movie about a person named Nora? one Nora?
It's called Anora.
Yep.
I have not seen Anora. I'm trying to do some quick research on this. A young escort from Brooklyn meets and impulsively marries the son of a Russian oligarch.
Hmm.
And there's some stuff with that. I'm just seeing if I know anybody in this movie, and the answer is no.
Okay. I got to figure out which one of these I'm going to go see, or I'm going to rent or whatever. The Brutalist. There's a story. Do you know anything about The Brutalist?
Do I? Doug, The Brutalist... When a visionary architect and his wife flee post-war Europe in 1947, rebuild their legacy, and witness the birth of modern United States, their lives are changed forever by a mysterious, wealthy client. I know nothing about it. Adrian Brody, Felicity Jones, I know who they are. Guy Pearce, I know who that is. Otherwise, not so much.
It doesn't sound particularly interesting to me, but no, it sounds more interesting.
Post-World War II architect gets a big client that mystery. I'm going to guess he's got some kind of... hidden past.
It sounds better than a Nora.
Yeah. To okay, this point, so I guess.
I'm brutalist, maybe. A complete unknown. Is that the Bob Dylan story?
Yes. With Timothy.
By the way, that might conclude my knowledge of this year's Oscar nominations.
Well, so far that's what I've got too, and okay. I haven't seen the movie. I'm not a Bob Dylan fan, so I'm not terribly interested. But people that I know that have seen the movie say it's great.
Really?
Yeah. And it only focuses, I guess, on a certain era of Bob Dylan, the early era of
the
Bob
good
Dylan.
Era?
I don't know if there's a good or bad. I'm not a fan, but to each their own. So I don't.
Yeah, I don't know that this one really is that compelling to me. Conclave. Do you know anything about Conclave?
I think that's a movie about popes, isn't it?
Popes?
Yeah.
Well, it's not easy.
No, poping ain't easy. This is true. And let me see if I'm correct on this. And yes, when Cardinal Lawrence is tasked with leading one of the world's most secretive and ancient events, selecting a new pope, he finds himself at the center of a conspiracy that would shake the very foundation of the Catholic Church. It could be interesting, could be also boring and long. But with Ralph Fiennes, the lead actor in this one, the comedian John Lithgow is in it.
Digging up problems with the Catholic Church, huh?
Who knew?
Dune Part 2.
I have not seen Dune Part 2. It's in my queue to watch. I saw Dune Part 1. It's visually fantastic. Dune 1 was visually awesome.
Was it?
A little hard to follow, I guess, at times. I've been told the second Part 2 is actually excellent, but I haven't
Is this one
it.
If I parachute in without seeing
no
Dune 1? No?
No way.
Okay, because I did that with those one movies.
Yeah, and you still don't know.
No. So you don't recommend I see Dune Part 2?
Not without seeing Dune Part 1, like the day before.
Next, Emilia Perez. Emilia Perez is up for Best Picture.
I don't know much about this movie at all. It's the first time I'm hearing about Emilia Perez, which is follows four remarkable women in Mexico.
Perez?
I see what you did there. Emilia Perez, up next, follows four remarkable women in Mexico. Yep. Each pursuing their own happiness, cartel leader Emilia enlists Rita, an unappreciated lawyer, to help fake her death so that she can finally live authentically as her true self. Okay, who's in it? Zoe Saldana, I like her. She's great. Selena Gomez is in it. Edgar Ramirez, know who he is. He played.
Okay, this is a possibility.
Yeah.
I'm Still Here is another Oscar-nominated picture.
I don't know. What's this one? This is a mother is forced to reinvent herself when their family's life is shattered by an act of arbitrary violence during the tightening grip of a military dictatorship in Brazil in 1971.
Military dictatorships, huh?
Don't know anybody who's in the movie.
Not really moving the needle.
Yeah, not really up to speed on the history of Brazil.
Okay, Nickel Boys.
Oh, that's about the Line Secondary, that movie.
I thought it was about a band from Canada.
No?
No? Nickel Boys. What is it?
How do you spell Nickel Boys?
N-I-C-K.
A band from Canada?
B-O-Y-S.
Oh, there we go. Nickel.
Is this about Nickelback?
Two words. It's two words.
No, I don't think so. I made that up.
Nickel Boys is based on the Pulitzer Prize winning novel by Colson Whitehead. Nickel Boys chronicles the powerful friendship between two young African-American men navigating the harrowing trials of reform school together in Florida. I do not know anybody in this movie either, but there is an actor named Sam Malone.
Really?
Yeah.
Mayday Malone?
At you with the Mayday reference.
Yeah, it's a million years old. I shouldn't have said it. The Substance. The Substance. This is up for Best Picture.
This is a movie with Demi Moore. Fading a celebrity takes a black market drug, a cell-replicating substance that temporarily creates a younger, better version of herself.
Okay, that sounds freaky.
It does. And having just watched the first season of Landman, and Demi Moore is in that, and she looks fantastic in that movie, but obviously there's been some work done with Demi Moore. This seems to be right up her alley if she's going to be taking some kind of substance that makes her look younger. Interesting. Dennis Quaid's also in this.
Are these real movies, Doug?
As best I can tell.
I've never heard of these.
Well, I haven't either.
You think
either.
I'm making up the synopsis that quickly on a spot?
I definitely know you're not doing that.
Finally, Wicked. I was told by my wife I wouldn't like Wicked because it's about friendship. I'm like, what do you think? I'm anti-friendship. I'm not seeing Wicked. So I think I'm going to go. I think I'm at some point try and see The Brutalist. because I'm into post-World War II architecture, I guess. I don't know. None of these sound that great to me, but.
Well, I am still have my page on The Substance, and they have like a movie poster next to it, and it has a critique on it that is three words.
Yeah.
Absolutely effing insane is what it says.
Hmm. And that's The Substance.
Yeah.
All right, maybe I'll reconsider it. The three I highlighted was, well, The Brutalist, Emilia Perez, and The Substance.
I don't think I'm not terribly intrigued by, I mean, I need to see Dune 2.
You've seen Dune 1.
I saw Dune 1, but now I got to watch Dune 1 again because it's been a few years.
Kang, you have young kids. Do you see movies?
No. I regret ever making fun of you for not seeing movies.
I know, right?
Because now I'm you.
Yep.
But I think these movies just suck. It sounds like a terrible year. Like, did you hear? You usually hear Wicked. We all heard about because I think the marketing was out of control.
The marketing was way out of control.
The promotion, all that stuff. But every other, like,
I was expecting Doug to wear a witch's hat one day,
paint his face green.
But Doug loves hats.
I do love hats.
Helmets, not hats. Well, he does love hats. Like too. Hats. Yeah, you're right.
He's got a hat problem.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Stems from his helmet love.
Ah. Koi Boy 1 on Twitch just said, Killers of the Flower Moon felt like a 10-hour slog. Interesting and true story, but damn, was it a tough watch. Yes, I gave up. From Loped Out, Substance is great, but you are uncomfortable the whole movie. Well, maybe I'll go with that. I mean, I was uncomfortable the entire Ozark. I was like waiting for things to go wrong and then for...
Oh, did things go wrong?
Yeah. Like desperately wrong every episode.
Wendy? We can find a way out of this situation. Yeah, we can make it happen. You need $10 million by Friday? Is that what I'm hearing? Okay, we can move some things around. And
Marty Bird... The greatest problem solver of all time. There you go. Those are the Oscar nominations. 248-539-9797. All right. Who will be the next Detroit Lions offensive and defensive coordinator? Will they promote from within? Will they go outside the family? We'll get to that today at 11:48. Next hour, the best of what Brad Holmes told the media this morning. We will get to that coming up as well here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Lions fans, well, look, it's been a long year and it's been a disappointing ending. And at UMCU, the official credit union of the Detroit Lions, they're celebrating an epic season. But now they did clinch back-to-back NFC North championships. And Jahmyr Gibbs, one of their guys, shattered a record for the most touchdowns in a single season. And to celebrate, UMCU has a great offer for you. Right now, earn 4% on CDs. That's right. Secure your funds and watch your savings grow with confidence. Are you confident that the Lions will be back? Suspect that you are confident the Lions will be back, and they should be back. They got a great young foundation of great young players. You should also have confidence in this deal right now. 4% on your CDs to celebrate the Lions. 4% on CDs at UMCU, and you only need $1,000 to get started. Promotion is available for a limited time, so join the winning team today. It's easy. Visit umcu.org. That's umcu.org. Some restrictions apply. All right, so a couple things to follow up on. One, it's being reported in the Detroit News today that the Lions will get 2 third-round compensatory picks for losing Aaron Glenn. Well, they're after the third round, including one in this year's draft. So they do get the first one this year.
Okay.
Which is great, giving more fuel to our guy Brad Holmes, who spoke earlier today. And next hour we'll play some of the highlights. But they have coordinators to replace. And... you know, every once in a while, you just kind of got a hunch, as we say on this show. I got a hunch that the offensive coordinator comes from within and the defensive coordinator comes from outside the organization.
Oh, you're going outside from defense?
Yep.
I'm going to go inside on both.
I feel like the defense, guys like Steve Wilks being out there, you know, and Lions can go grab some of the guys that we've heard rumored to be going to Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn. Turnabout's fair play now, right? oh, you want to hire him as your defense coordinator? Maybe we'll just make a better offer over here to join a winning team.
Oh.
So, you know, the Wilkes to the Jets thing came up yesterday. And I'm like, wow, wow, wow. The Lions go get him. But I think coming from within, I think it, a lot of this comes down, and Jared Goff said he'll have something to do with it, as I think he should. I think there's going to be a level of comfort that comes with that guy from within, who also knows that what they were doing is working with this group of players. It also feels like, to me, it's a less difficult decision, because mm-hmm. in many ways you don't have to change a whole lot offensively.
Yeah, and even Ben Johnson, in his when he was talking yesterday, being introduced to Chicago, he said, look, Detroit's got a long runway that we've built over there. It doesn't matter who's calling plays. They'll be fine. You know, as if to say they've established it. They know the system. They're going to be okay. And I totally agree with that. I think – I'm not going to say it doesn't matter who's calling plays, but I feel confident enough that even if it's Dan Campbell, because he's done it before, I'm okay with it. I do think they're going to promote from within, whether it's Mark Brunell or Engstrand or whoever they decide to do, Scotty Montgomery, it'll be fine. Defensively, I still think it's coming from within. I could see Calvin Shepard, the linebackers coach, being the guy.
It's funny you brought up that you didn't bring up the name that I'm kind of wondering if, do you just go, okay, fine, we'll block it. Hank Fraley, your offensive coordinator. Like, is that something that could be in play here? Or if they're going to make him a co-offensive coordinator, the run game coordinator? Again, I'm not crazy about that if I'm a coach, but do you keep him in Detroit by making Engstrand the passing game coordinator and Fraley the run game coordinator?
If you can, you know, play that game so that he doesn't get poached. I mean, if it means you hang on to Hank Fraley, do it. If you want to go ahead and play the game, if it's legal to play the game that way. I don't know enough about Hank Fraley to know that he's a guy that should be considered for an offensive coordinator job.
Right, sure.
The fact that he's being interviewed in Seattle should tell you, okay, except if Seattle's doing it in this co-coordinator role, then maybe it's a little bit different.
Kang, do you have any thoughts on what should happen here? Coordinator spots?
I don't think it's as easy as Gator. You're making it sound like it seemed like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, so you can just correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I think the offensive coordinator position is a very important hire. I'll say that, okay? And I think that you have to pick the right guy. I don't think, and I don't know if Scotty Montgomery is going to be good, or Tanner Engstrand or Hank Fraley, but they better get the right guy, because the relationship that Jared Goff and Ben Johnson had, Ben Johnson unlocked something. And I know Dan Campbell's still there, but he's got to watch and run the entire team. I'm really worried about, or concerned, or, you know, about who they hire as offensive coordinator, because Jared Goff is the entire team. He makes this whole... I know the offensive line's got to be there and all that stuff, but Jared Goff is the reason why. His play is the reason why they were so good so fast. So to me, if it's from within or from without, outside the organization, I'm not in the camp of, hey, it doesn't matter, they're just going to keep humming along. Do you know what I'm saying, Gator? I don't think
I know what you're saying. I kind of disagree, because I do think it hums along.
See,
I think they have all the pieces there. The offensive line is there. The running backs are back. Everybody comes back. So there's no reason to think it wouldn't. Now, Ben Johnson, sure, he was a visionary. Everybody says he's a great play caller and has his deep bag of tricks and all that, and I think he was awesome for this team. But he wasn't the only guy that Jared Goff was talking to on the sidelines. He wasn't the only guy in meeting rooms when it comes to the offense. I know you know that. I think they're better suited to promote from within because of that, because of what Doug said. They want somebody who's going to work with Jared, who Jared feels comfortable working with. And to go outside the organization to bring that in, that's going to take time to build up that trust, as opposed to, is Mark Brunell ready to be that guy? Is Engstrom ready to be that guy? Is Hank Fraley ready to be that guy? I don't know. But it would seem to me it's more along the guys who've worked directly with the quarterback, as opposed to somebody who's from outside the organization or even an offensive line coach.
I think I'm kind of wanting to see them go on the offensive, because we mentioned Wilkes as a possibility, and he's rumored to be maybe a candidate for Aaron Glenn's staff in New York. Well, hey man, offers the same financially, come win a Super Bowl here. Well, what about Dennis Allen, who's rumored to be a leading candidate for the defensive coordinator job in Chicago? Hey man, like I said, you're on the other team now. We're going to snatch your first choice as defensive coordinator, a guy who came from the Saints and has a history working with Dan Campbell.
See, I don't care if it's from outside or inside, because look what happened with the Eagles, guys. They went to the Super Bowl, lost both coordinators, promoted from within, and then fired those guys immediately the following year. So it's not always as easy as just promoting from within and then the quarterback is familiar with that guy or not. It didn't work out with the Eagles. They made the playoffs, though, but they started 10-1 that year and then completely fell off the back half of the year.
I don't think it's easy. I think it's an easier situation for the Lions because Dan Campbell was the offensive coordinator. He's the guy who was calling plays before Ben Johnson did. You know, he and Ben Johnson worked on this whole thing together. So I feel more comfortable. I guess that's the way I'm going to say it. I'm more comfortable with their decision, what's going to happen, because ultimately Dan Campbell's that guy. He's the guy that got it all started. You know, he's the guy that said, we're going to move on from Anthony Lynn. That's not working the way we want it to go. Let's promote somebody else. In the meantime, I'll call the plays. And that's when things started to turn around offensively. Then he felt comfortable enough to say, Ben, now you can take it over. And I think the same thing can happen. He can mentor another guy. Is it easy? Of course it's not easy. Nothing's easy. You have to work at it. But I think it's an easier path because of who's in charge.
Again, when the dust settles, where's Robert Saleh going to be?
Probably San Francisco, or he's going to be the head coach in Jacksonville.
So he's got to, let's start with him not getting, under the presumption, if he does not get the head coaching position in Jacksonville, does he go back to the old stomping grounds, or does Detroit bring him home?
Well, the rumors are that San Francisco is willing to make him the highest paid coordinator in the National Football League if he doesn't get a head coaching job this cycle. So if you're going to step up and pay him the money, if you think he's the right guy, go ahead and do that. But if you don't want to do that, if you'd rather, you know, take a chance on somebody else, then I guess you do that. I don't know where he'd rather play, where he'd rather coach. Would he rather go back to where he's comfortable in San Francisco, or does he want to come here, you know, quote unquote home here?
I mean, again, this is why, if I look at the names of possible defensive coordinators, I'm seeing a lot more established, really guys who've had a ton of success. So much so they all got head coaching positions, failed as a head coach, go back to the level where you were successful. I'd rather see them do that defensively than promote from within. And even though there are some very worthy coaches to promote from within, I'd like to see them go outside for defense, inside for offense. And it mostly has to do now, who are the offensive minds, right? Is Kellen Moore? Has he settled in anywhere yet?
No, they're still interviewing. Well, actually, right now they're still in the playoffs, so it's hard to interview him right now. But he was interviewing for other head coaching jobs. But if he doesn't get a head coaching job,
so what can you do to get him? And would you even have a chance at him?
Probably not. I mean, if they got a chance to go to a Super Bowl,
yeah. What is he, assistant head coach and offensive coordinator? I don't know. That probably wouldn't work. I mean, who offensively would you want to go after if there's anybody outside? I mean, it's a lot easier to do for me.
It's funny because I really haven't even thought about it for the offensive side because I think it's such a slam dunk that they would promote from within. Defensively, Saleh's name obviously comes up if you're going to go outside the organization. I'll mention a name, but just for discussion, not that I think this is what they should do, but would you consider it? He was a disaster as a head coach, but he is a good defensive mind. That's Eberflus.
Mm-hmm.
Doug, what about Wink Martindale?
I suppose it's possible.
He seems like an NFL guy.
You know, he's an incredibly interesting dude to talk to. I find him to be the perfect mix of football knowledge and grumpy old uncle kind of guy. But he could be. And you know, he's got such a history in the NFL. The only offensive name from the outside that, like, I was like, what about Arthur Smith? And again, I like the idea of a failed head coach getting back to what he was great at and established a name for himself. And maybe Arthur Smith could be that guy. Oh, did he take a job? Did he take a job? He might have taken
a job. I feel like he might have. I'm going to throw a name out there.
It's
I don't want Pittsburgh.
Okay, my
is
bad.
It's still,
my bad.
Right. What about, I don't want this guy, but what about Dan Orlovsky? Because, you know, names like this get thrown out all the time. People are just throwing darts. But
That's
wasn't he rumored to like be maybe even a possible head coach last year in the offseason? Like someone was targeting him, or maybe it was just offensive coordinator.
That's a good question. How
these things get started. Josh McCown, he was hot for a minute, right? And I know he's with Minnesota right now.
Yeah. And who's where's Byron Leftwich? Is he still out there?
Yeah.
I believe he hasn't landed anywhere yet. Byron Leftwich is an established guy. Anyway, some interesting names. We'll see how it shakes out. Brad Holmes did speak with the media today. We'll replay the best of what he had to say. Coming up next hour here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.